What would happen if you put the wrong fuel in your car?
Diesel in a small vehicle?
Ah, disaster would surely ensue.
How can we make sure we don't do the same thing to our own bodies?
Stay tuned as we discuss this and much more on today's episode of Wake Up With Hope. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. Thank you for waking up on this last episode of 2023.
That's right, and we are so delighted to be here with you this morning. We are officially beginning the final countdown to the year 2024. And we challenge you to do something for someone else during these last few days of the year by finishing off strong.
Yes. You know, maybe you can take your kids to that place you've been promising to take them for a while. Or how about getting some exercise and making up for lost time?
And speaking of lost time, you can spend time with someone you haven't seen in a while, or maybe spend some time with someone you've missed because all the other things have gotten in the way.
Whatever you do, make the end of this year special and meaningful. This morning, we hope to motivate you and help you along. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, Texas is admitted into the United States as the 28th state after the Congress of the Republic of Texas accepted to be annexed. Sam Houston, the leading general of the Texas Army, captured Santa Ana of Mexico and led his troops to victory over Mexico, ending Mexico's attempts to subdue Texas. The Texans now desired to enter the Union. However, this entrance was delayed because of Texas' status as a slave state. Eventually, Texas let go of its past and became a free state.
This change reminds me of the remarkable transformation God desires in us, exemplified in the biblical story of Saul, who later became Paul. You know, Saul, initially a zealous follower of God, turned against Christians due to misunderstanding the gospel. He persecuted them, imprisoning many. However, Saul experienced a life-changing encounter with Jesus, leading to his transformation into Paul, a powerful advocate for the Christian church. And friends, we encourage you to read about this encounter in Acts chapter 9. And remember that you too can have a personal encounter with Jesus today.
Amen. Taj Pachlav joins us now as he takes us on a tour through the splendor of Socorro on today's Reflections of Hope episode.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you're willing to endure intense suffering to obtain it? Willing to sacrifice comforts and go through hardships just to acquire it? Something that was so attractive to you that you'd be willing to do almost anything just to see it? Well, there's an earthly place that's kind of like that for me. ...285 miles off the coast of Mexico lies a group of four volcanic islands that shoot up from the Great Pacific Ocean. Discovered in 1533 by Spanish explorers, the Riviera Hijito Islands have been a top destination for many more explorers since then. It is home to a handful of naval officers who look after the Mexican naval base on the island of Socorro. It is also the center of the largest marine protected area in North America, a 57,000 square mile marine sanctuary, a place of refuge for the creatures of the sea, where no fishing, mining, or tourist development is allowed. It is also a UNESCO World Heritage Site that is called by some as Mexico's Little Hawaii. Now, it doesn't have the beautiful beaches like we have back at home, but it does boast some of the most spectacular pelagic diving in the world. Lava tubes rising like chimneys from the seafloor provide the perfect backdrop for a plethora of pelagic species to congregate in peace. There are schools of hammerhead sharks seeking rest by drifting in the ripping currents. Strong but yet peaceful predators, they're unbothered by our presence. You can hear humpback whales sing their love song while they nurse their calves in the calm and clear waters. The friendly bottlenose dolphins are intrigued by scuba divers and consistently draw close for a playful look. The intelligence in their eyes and their playful personalities testify to the wisdom and joy of their maker. But the main attraction of this incredible place are the gigantic oceanic manta rays. With wingspans of up to 20 feet wide, these gentle giants seem to soar through the ocean with grace and majesty. Their behavior is almost inexplicable. Instead of fleeing from us, they constantly draw near, seeking for a relaxing massage in our bubbles. The eye-to-eye encounters with these graceful creatures are a glimpse of heaven for me. To be in the presence of something so large, and yet so graceful and peaceful, is awe-inspiring to say the least. Words cannot describe the feelings of exploring the water world of the beautiful creatures of Socorro. And yet surprisingly, there are only a relative few who are able to experience the splendor of this place. Why not more? Well, because Socorro is a very hard place to get to. Unless you're one of the few Mexican naval officers, the only way to get to these islands is by boat. And there's only a relative few boats that bring only advanced scuba divers, only a handful at a time. And due to the rough seas, there are just a handful of months out of the year where the waters are relatively calm enough to set sail. And once you do, it's a 24-hour boat ride to this isolated place. Because of the long journey, there are no day trips. 1 week is the minimal amount of time you must be willing to stay on the boat to experience the splendor of Socorro. Now for some people, this may be an easy voyage to make, but I, on the other hand, suffer from a terrible disadvantage. Despite my love for the ocean, I'm constantly plagued with seasickness. It is a curse. For me, there are few things worse than being seasick on a boat where there's no place to escape for relief. But despite this, I'm still willing to endure the 24-hour boat ride and 7-day journey to experience the beauty and power of this place. Being able to swim with the friendly dolphins, the powerful sharks, the singing whales, and the majestic mantas make it more than worth it to me. Our journey to Socorro reminds me of another journey that is also hard, but the destination is worth every step. It is the journey from earth to heaven. The Bible says that it is only through much tribulation that we will enter into the kingdom of God. It tells us that the afflictions of this world are what God uses to prepare us for the eternal weight of glory to come. And Jesus said that only those who endure to the end will be saved. In order to make it to the heavenly Socorro, we must be willing to sacrifice earthly comforts and endure the seasickness of trial and hardship. But when we get to the shores of heaven, it will be worth it all. The name Socorro comes from the Old English word Socor, which literally means to aid and support in times of hardship and distress. These isolated islands have truly been that for me, a place of relief from my seasickness. And in a similar way, there is another place where we can find relief from the seasickness of sin. And that, my friends, is at the foot of the cross of Christ. It is said concerning Jesus, "For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor, to aid, to help, to bring relief to those who are also tempted." You see, Jesus knows what it's like to experience the temptations that we face. In fact, he has already faced the pain and endured the hardships that we have yet to encounter. For his desire to be with us was so strong that he left the comforts of heaven and he set sail to the rugged shores of our sinful world. His yearning for eternal fellowship with us was so great that he made the ultimate sacrifice for us on the cross. He took our sin and our seasickness in order to give us his soothing salvation. And he endured to the end when he said, "It is finished." And having been through all of that, he was now able to succor us on our way to the heavenly Socorro. All we must do is look to him for grace and strength. So remember that even though the journey will be difficult and the sacrifices will be great, the destination will be worth it all. Far better than the dolphins, the sharks, the whales, and the mantas. To be with the maker of them all in the unspoiled paradise of God, nothing can compare. And by God's succoring grace, I'll see you there. Thank you.
Can you tell the future? Well, let's dive in and take a deeper look at this seemingly rhetorical question on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
Sand sculpting is awesome. It's an art form that only uses sand to create pieces of art that capture our imagination and stir our hearts. It's just so inspiring to watch a skilled sand sculptor creating a masterpiece. You see the intricate designs and patterns of this sand sculpture. It's stunning and certainly more inspiring than the humble sand castle most of us build on the beach, near the waves with the bucket and spade. Our sand castles are soon washed away by the tide, and even the most amazing creations are eventually blown by the wind, washed away by the waves, and destroyed over time. But one thing our beautiful sand clock can't do, and that is tell the time. Now, time is the only certainty we have in life. Like the sand in an hourglass, there is a steady, unstoppable advancement of time. Time just keeps marching on. You cannot save time or lock it away. You can't keep some of it back for that rainy day. You cannot hold on to time as it slips through your fingers like sand. Yesterday is history. Today will soon follow. And tomorrow is the future. You know, the thing about time is that we can look back, but we can't see the future. Who could have predicted the pandemic that has changed our world forever? Who could have predicted the rise of violence and lawlessness in our societies? Many people are asking, what is going to happen next? How can we know what is the next calamity? Is there a way to find out? Some have tried to tell the future, but without success. Some try science, others try fortune tellers with their crystal balls, others read the horoscopes, and others follow conspiracy theories. I would like to suggest that the only reliable source to find out about the future is the Bible. Only God knows the future.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our channel and keep up with us there.
We'll be right back, but first, we have Doctor's Orders coming up next.
Oh no, gasoline has gone up again.
Again? This will work.
Hey, what are you doing putting water in the car?
Well, you were saying that gasoline's so expensive, yeah. And I agree. And so I just thought, you know, it's free at the station. We can just use water.
Well, that will never work. It's not flammable. It'll kill the engine. It just won't work. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, okay. Well, then we'll press the diesel button.
Diesel? That won't work either.
But it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And it runs trucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's flammable.
Yeah.
Well, if it runs a big old truck, surely it'll run a little old car like mine.
Yeah, but this car was designed to run on gasoline, not diesel, not water. It'll never work.
Oh, well, that's exactly my point. This is what we were designed to run on. This is the right fuel, but many people think that they can run their bodies on this fuel.
And this kind of fuel clogs up our bodies just like the wrong fuel clogs up our cars.
And the thing about this fuel is it's not just an engine that we're clogging up, which can be replaced. We clog our bodies, causing pain, suffering, and premature death.
And not only that, this fuel tastes a lot better than that fuel.
Well, I better put this where it belongs.
You better.
Now, eat the right fuel. Doctor's orders.
I'll link to that.
It's now time for a devotional thought from Pastor Mark Finley.
We've been studying the book of Proverbs together. Proverbs is an amazing book of practical wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 17, in verse 17, the scripture says this, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." What is a friend? A real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. That's according to Walter Winchell. Somebody else said a friend is someone who understands your past, believes in your future, and accepts you just as the way you are. Another person said growing apart doesn't change the fact that for a long time we grew side by side. Our roots will always be tangled. I'm glad for that, according to Ali Kondi. You see, lots of people, according to Oprah Winfrey, want to ride with you in the limo. But what you want is someone who'll take the bus with you when the limo breaks down. What is a friendship? What is the term friendship mean? Who is a true friend? In a biblical sense, friendship is this deep personal relationship where you feel comfortable to share your joys, your sorrows, your strong points, and your weak points with the one that knows all about you, but yet loves you still. The deepest relationship of friendship that we can possibly have is our relationship with Jesus. Throughout Scripture, the Bible talks about being friends with God. And the deeper our relationship is with Christ, the closer we feel to Him, the more we feel accepted, the more we can accept others. The more we feel forgiven, the more we can forgive others. The more we feel that Christ is our friend, the more we can reach out our hand in friendship. In John, the 15th chapter, the Bible talks about this concept of being friends with Christ. It's an amazing thing when you actually think about it, that Jesus, the one who existed from eternity, tabernacled in human flesh, the one that was one with the Father, and at whose very name angels winged their way to worlds afar, the one at whose name angels obeyed, this Christ, the creator of the universe, the one that spoke and worlds came into existence, the one that spoke and earth was carpeted with living green, the one who spoke and sea and land and life appeared, the one that created Adam out of the dust of the earth. This Jesus wants to be your friend. I mean, it's an incredibly sublime thought. We read about it in John chapter 15, starting with verse 10. Jesus says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that your joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I commanded you. No longer will I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I've made known to you." Jesus says, if I have loved you, love one another. And Jesus says, I loved you so much that I gave my life for you. You're not a speck of cosmic dust in the universe. You're not a grand zero. You're not like some soda can that has been run over by a truck and kicked to the side of the road and little or no worth. You're not some pebble on the seashore. Jesus says, I created you and I fashioned you. And I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to be not simply a servant of mine, but I want you to be my friend. And when I understand that Christ invites me into an intimate, personal, loving relationship with him, when I understand that Jesus wants me to be his friend, it lifts my spirit, it encourages my heart, and it enables me to reach out in loving kindness and compassion and develop meaningful relationships with others. You know, I love that song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear." What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. The words of that song were written by Joseph M. Scriven. The story behind the song is quite remarkable. He was in his early 20s and he was engaged to be married. About a week or two before his wedding, by now, of course, the invitations had gone out. The pastor had secured the church facilities. They had planned the reception. But Joseph M. Scriven's fiancée went swimming, and unfortunately, she drowned. It was a devastating experience to him. He left England and came to Canada. And there in Canada, he was so discouraged. He went out living in the forest, chopping wood, living in a little home not on the edge of the forest. He'd often chop wood for elderly ladies. He said he'd never marry again. By the time he was in his 30s, he now found another woman that he loved deeply. They were engaged to be married, but unfortunately, she developed a tragic lung disease and died a few months before the wedding. Joseph M. Scriven was so incredibly discouraged that he wondered if he could go on with life. Tears rolled down his face, and he got a telegram in those days from England saying that his mother was dying. He didn't have enough money to go back to the funeral of his mom or to even see her before she died. And he decided that what he would do would write a poem. So he sat down one day and he began to write, and these words came to his mind. What a friend we have in Jesus, written to his mother. Mother, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him, to God in prayer. Have we trials or temptations, mother? Are there troubles anywhere? What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Joseph M. Scriven, in the trauma of his life, in the sorrow of his life, in the heartache of his life, in the disappointment of his life, when he was walking through those valleys, saw Jesus as his best friend. You may feel that you have very few friends, but Jesus reaches out to you today. He wants to be your friend. He wants you to have an intimate relationship with him. And the closer you draw to Jesus as you seek him in prayer, as you open his word and let him speak to you, the closer you draw to Jesus, the more your heart will be filled with his love to develop friends with other people. The more you trust Jesus, the more you can trust others in that friendship. Will you today enter into that precious relationship with Jesus that is the basis of all friendships? Will you reach out to him today? He's reaching out to you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mark, for blessing us this morning.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week with you right here. So don't forget to join us on Monday morning for the first day of the year 2024. We can't wait to see you in the new year.
And also, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guide.
Again, friends, that's hope.study.
And we don't want to leave you without sharing a Bible promise for this final weekend of 2023. Mm-hmm. Today's Bible promise comes from Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26.
It says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways."
What a great promise. Mm-hmm. You know, friends, if there's anyone in this world that you can trust, it's God. He's faithful, and his faithfulness does not waver. And today he says, "Give me your heart and observe my ways." And he promises to do just that. He will cover us under his wings.
Amen. And we encourage you to keep this joyful promise in your heart throughout this weekend. And we truly wish you a happy new year as you walk with the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it doesn't seem possible that we're about to celebrate the end of 2023. And Lord, we know that you have been with us, though we have experienced trials and joys. Lord, you've been with us every step of the way. And as we look ahead into 2024, we don't know what to expect, but you do. You know all things. Nothing surprises you. You are above all. And we can lean on you and trust you and fear will be gone because you're in control. And so, Lord, we thank you for answering our prayers. Bless us now as we close this program, close this year, and begin a new year with you, filled with hope. In Jesus' name, amen.